Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also with me today. And Bill, we've treated the subject several times on this program, and I think we need to come back to our listenership on this because Harvard Law School declared war against home education and against Homeschool Legal Defense Association in their Harvard magazine. And as it turns out, they had this anti-homeschooling summit, which apparently has just been canceled.
Yeah, I mean, it was awful. It was the loaded language in that article very clearly indicated the bias with which they were approaching homeschool movement.
Oh, yeah. And the conference was canceled. This conference. Now, we were joking that it was hard to pull the conference off because the attendees were forced to stay home with their kids for the virtual conference. And so, you know, it's hard to be slamming home education when you're sitting there with your kids at home.
Right.
So anyway, so it got canceled. It was an invite-only anti-homeschooling conference taking place at Harvard Law School. The apparent cancellation comes following the widely circulated article in Harvard Magazine, as you mentioned, in which Harvard Law School professor Elizabeth Bartlett opined that children have a right to a meaningful education, that homeschool environments can be abusive. The issue, she said, is do we think that parents should have 24/7 essential control over their children from ages 0 to 18? The difficulty there is that everybody's 24/7 with their kids right now.
Right now. Exactly.
A little bit of a challenge there for Professor Elizabeth at this point.
The irony of this. And then
a lot of irony. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's also at a period of time in which 57 million American children are back home with their parents. And wow, I wonder how much this is going to affect the homeschooling movement. Bill, I think what's happened here is the Tower of Babel is coming down. And it's a little late for Elizabeth Bartlett to be the apologist for the Nimrod Project. You know, in other words, the Nimrod Project is all about the Plato Republic. You know, the state owns the children. We just want the statistic utopian concept of state control over every aspect of life, including the preparation of the next series of citizens to engage in this Platonic Republic utopia thing. And here's the challenge. The challenge is the Babel is coming down again. Because here's the question that many Americans are facing. Now, listen to this, Bill. Who wants to put 10,000 kids in a room right now? 10,000 kids all stuffed into a room or an institution. How many people out there are saying, I'd love the idea of putting 10,000 kids or even 4,000 kids into a room, an institution, with the potential of a pandemic taking down all those kids all at once? You put the potential of a pandemic, snowflakeism, and 10,000 kids in a schoolroom, and you've got to conclude that's not going to work.
No.
Well, that's exactly what's happening. The Tower of Babel is coming down again in the providence of God. Isn't that interesting, Bill, how God just doesn't like these towers?
He laughs at man's attempt to build a heaven on earth.
Yeah. Well, man will attempt it again and again, and God brings the towers down. He brought Egypt down. He brought Assyria down. He brought Babel down. He brought Babylon down. He brought Greece down. Alexander the Great. You know, his empire lasted about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah.
And then it got split into three or four of the various Alexandrian empires, and then that all fell apart. And then Rome. Then Rome came down after that. The Spanish Empire. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Roman Empire, it wasn't holy, it wasn't Roman, it wasn't really an empire. And the Spanish Empire lasted for, what, like 20 years or something? The influx of all that gold from South America just brought about inflation. That always doesn't do a very good job keeping an empire together. And then you get the French Empire. And then Napoleon, he tried to keep that empire up, he's too short.
Yeah.
That was his problem.
Yeah. It came up short.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're just trying to keep that empire up, and you got these towers. You know, the tower is built like 4, 5, 6 feet in the air. That guy was too little. I mean, he just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And then you had the English Empire. The sun never set on the English Empire. You know what's happening right now? Sun is setting on the English Empire today.
Yeah. It barely rises on the English
Empire.
Barely
empires and sets, yeah. And then you've got the American. Wonder what's going to happen with the American Empire. Well, be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, listen. There is nothing families need more than godly husbands and fathers, spiritual men, praying men, men who are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, that God would raise up stronger men, gentle, faithful shepherds, covenant keepers, men who won't quit, men who stay in the battle, men who persevere when the going gets tough, sacrificial lovers, robust men, not snowflakes. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So the apostle tells us, quit ye like men, be strong. That's why the Shepherd's Conference each year in my home here in Elizabeth, Colorado. Let me tell you, it's the best fellowship, the best worship, the best encouragement, the best exhortation, 5 days of immersive study in the Word of God, prayer and fellowship at my place out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, September 28th through October 2nd this year. Here's the caveat, there are only 45 spots open, reserved now at generations.org/shepherds. That's generations.org/shepherds. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson with you. And friends, the state of the family in America is not doing well. In 2018, 71% of children born to women under 24 years of age were born out of wedlock. 57% of kids born to millennials born out of wedlock. That's up from 5% in 1960. And only one third of the country lived in a household with two parents as of the year 2019. Atlantic Magazine has just completed an article called "The Nuclear Family Was a Mistake." And it's interesting, Bill, that the Brave New World now presents a family called the Forged Family. Have you heard of this? What they're concluding is the whole idea that God brought to us about a man and a woman living together, having children, and raising those children as a nuclear family is dead and gone. In fact, this guy says it was a mistake. That God made a mistake. That's been around for 6,000 years until he showed up.
Yeah. And he's here to correct everything.
Yeah, because, you know, for the last 4 years, he's had a forged family, and it's worked out real good.
It's worked out really
well. Real good for 4 years.
Very great.
Yeah. Count on this thing. Sorry. It's hard to take these articles seriously, Bill. But, you know, what he's trying to say is that, yeah, we pretty much destroyed the nuclear family. Yeah, there's 10 times more people shacking up than were in 1970. Yeah, the divorce rate is at 42%, up from 4%. Yeah, you know, got 57% of kids born outside of wedlock, up from 6%. It's total dysfunctionality. It's the undoing of entire civilization. This is a nuclear bomb on a civilization, and we don't come out from under this thing. Now, he doesn't want to deal with that fact, but he wants to say that the loneliness of modern life is very hard to deal with. People have a hard time dealing with the loneliness of modern life. He says a new and more communal ethos is emerging, one that is consistent with 21st century reality, 21st century values. What does he mean by this, Bill? What he means is wake up and smell the napalm. We are in a whole new world today, and these old values are all gone, and we have evolved into higher creatures with higher morals. And this whole evolution of morality has developed into something very wonderful called the Forged Family. And the Forged Family, he says, we've left behind the nuclear family paradigm of 1955. For most people, it's not coming back. Americans are hungering to lift an extended and forged families in ways that are new and ancient at the same time. The Forged Family evidently is 25 random people showing up at the same house. It's a glorified frat house concept. With a bunch of sexual chaos involved.
You know
the sexual chaos of modern life. I mean, you've heard of polyamory. Have you heard of homosexuality? Have you heard about, like, whatever man? Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
You've heard of that? Like,
sure.
Whatever man? Have you heard
whatever.
Of that?
Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat.
This is chaos.
Now, what's interesting is that this article came out at a time when families are being forced to work and live together and to reconnect at a time that it was most dysfunction. You know, there was most dysfunction in the world. We were all forced to shelter in place, to quarantine ourselves, and families are getting reacquainted and reunited. Parents are taking control of their education of their children. And it's interesting that this article comes out at this time to me. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Well, there's a potential of something of a revival of the nuclear family in the Western world.
Right.
As we have said, there's a potential for the increase, the massive increase of the homeschool population in America. And so there's a but again, Bill, I think it's got to happen in the context of the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge.
Right.
It has to come with the restoration of the biblical church and all the rest.
It has to come
and we'll
with,
see what happens.
With repentance on the part of Christians who have abandoned biblical principles
sure,
and been
sure.
taken captive through mm-hmm. philosophy or empty deception.
Sure. But this whole pseudo life of the what he calls the forged family is not going to survive, my friends. And here's what he's saying is, you know, the whole family concept where you're all together in one home and you live together for 5, 10, 15 years and you learn about each other's sins and you come close enough to each other to understand each other's faults and conflicts develop and eventually divorce. He says that model isn't going to last anymore. But what we need is kind of the Romani, you know, the gypsy Romani thing, where you kind of get this temporary shack up, hang out for the time being until you get sick of each other and move on. So that approach is supposed to be better than the biblical covenantal marriage. That's what he's saying here.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah.
That to whomever he is married is a bit nervous right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know?
Or whoever he's living with.
Yeah.
Well, friends, we need to come back to the covenantal concept, and which, by the way, can survive and thrive with the forgiveness of Jesus. And Bill, I think we need to come back to the best way for any kind of a reconstruction or a renewal of covenantal family life, and that's going to be at the foot of the cross of Christ. Because, Bill, ask yourself, how in the world can you deal with the sins of others, or even the sins of yourself, but by the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that he gives to us? Isn't that the basic point at which family life is reconstructed?
Yeah, it's a starting point.
Absolutely. Because, friends, without the forgiveness of Christ, how can we forgive others?
We have to start back where the Creator started. Mm-hmm. We have to return to the Creator's premise.
Yeah.
And then we can move forward.
What happened was there was so much brokenness that came about through divorce, so much brokenness that came about through the abandonment of marriage, the abandonment of that covenantal commitment, and friends, the destruction that comes out of the destruction of marriage is incomprehensible, and it's something that the future generation simply cannot handle unless there is a renewal and a reconciliation through the cross of Christ and through faith in the Son of God who came to reconcile us to God and then to reconcile us with each other. Well, one more story before we're done, Bill. I realize we're just pasting a few things together here, but all tie in to the undoing of the family in the modern age and the replacement of the family with the state. But here's an interesting story that I thought I would share because, man, I haven't seen anything like this in my lifetime. It's from Religion News. Now, Religion News is not known for its conservative edge. It tends to be Religion News from the liberal perspective. Pope Francis is sending money to support transgender prostitutes in Italy. In a surprising move, the Roman Pope sends a donation to a group of transgender prostitutes living in the small town of Torvianca, Italy. The Pope has been increasingly supportive of the sexually aberrant for a number of years, holding a mass for homosexual Catholics and so forth, and a mass with a lesbian Anglican activist, according to Religion News. Now, this is what Religion News says. About 20 transgendered prostitutes have made the parish of Blessed Virgin of the Immaculate their home. Many of the people are sex workers, RNS reports, and have been left with no income to pay rent or bills since Italy enacted a national quarantine. So the Pope has intervened and provided support for the transgender prostitutes during this period of time.
This just kind of makes me want to, you know, go out and barf. You know,
Bill,
I wonder what God thinks of this.
What's happening here? But you know what the churches are going to say. And this is what the liberal churches say in America as well. The Roman Catholic Church here sounds a lot like the PCUSA churches over here.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
There's an unwillingness on the part of powerless religions to realize the true faith that Jesus came, that the Son of God came to save us from our sins. Somehow, Bill, this is lost in the mix. Somehow the whole message of Christ is lost. And so there is no gospel, there's no power in the gospel to transform lives anymore in the minds of the liberal Catholics or the liberal Protestants, either side. I'm not just picking on liberal Catholics, I'm picking on the liberal Protestants as well. And so the best they can do, Bill, is to try to make the coffins comfortable as people make their way into hell. You see, you got to line the coffins with a foam padding. It has to be lined well as they make their way into hell. The true Jesus, now this brings up the question of why Jesus came. I've already made the point that he came to reconcile us to God. He came to save us from our sins. He came to cleanse us from all unrighteousnesses. And that includes transvestites. That includes prostitutes. That includes the proud. That includes all of us, sinners. Friends, Jesus came not to pamper us in our sins. Bill, there's two Jesuses working here. Do you see that? You have the Jesus that came to pamper everybody in their sins. And then you have Jesus who came to call prostitutes to repentance. He says to the adulteress, what does he say to the adulteress? What does he say? He says, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. The false Christianity really loves the first part of that, but it repudiates the second part. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, the false Christianity says, you just continue to pamper people in their sins because the gospel has no power to transform. The real gospel has no power to bring about a regeneration, a new life, and the repentance that follows. The false Christianity simply presents the message, neither do I condemn you, but it cannot preach the message, go and sin no more. The true Jesus brings both of those together.
It reminds me of 2 Timothy 3:5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And we're to have nothing to do with such people.
Yeah.
They like the trappings of tradition, but they deny the truth.
The true faith presents a message in which we are cleansed and forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the real Jesus. And in faith, I encourage all my listeners to turn to the real Jesus, the real Savior, who really saves you from your sins so that you are no longer characterized by the sin of homosexuality, fornication, lying, and then we can say, such were some of you. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can hear the program anytime, air it anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.